Okay, Rabotai, today's daf, Blima Bat Yoel, Aliyat Nishmata. Today's daf is daf Nun Hei, and here we are right at the top of the daf, at the Halakha Mishnah. So we're continuing the discussion of terminology that needs to be defined as to what species it includes. This is similar to the previous parak, except that over here we're not talking about derivatives, we're talking about the meaning of the term of a particular type, class, family, and so on, as we'll see. So somebody talks about dagan. So now the word dagan technically means things that are piled up, the idgan. Usually it's a reference to the same idea as tvuah, and it means the chameshet haminim. So the question is whether in common usage, because we're talking about Nedarim, does Dagan have the same meaning? Rabbi Meir says no. When it comes to the Nedarim, somebody says the word Dagan, he includes even Ful HaMitzri Yavesh, because these things are piled up. And so that's the dried Ful, and that is stored the same way that grain is stored. You pile it up, you put it into a... Sometimes you put it into a granary, but the idea is specifically that it makes this classic grain pile that is smoothed on the top, and that's called idgan. So it says Rabbi Yossi, the Chachomim say the word dagan, even in terms of the way people use it, still is related to the chameshes haminim of dagan. And therefore, we still give it the same idea that we would have given it in Atera. I know there, says Rabbi Meir, now there's a big difference. If you would have said, min ha-tvuah, see, I would have agreed with you, that tvuah, even in terms of people's usage, tvuah definitely means chameshet haminim. But dagan, I think the very sense of dagan, as opposed to tvuah, is to ask yourself in everything that is used as dagan, meaning that it's piled up the way dagan. It's referring to the actual physical storage of it, whereas tvuah, that has a technical meaning that we're used to using all the time in terms of our chiyuvim and all the chamesh, I mean, a dagan, you know, things like brochas and matzah and chametz. And so there people use the word. I agree with you. But dagan, also bekol, that is nidgan. But I would agree. I mean, it definitely doesn't include, let's say, fruit, you know, or tomatoes, because those kind of things are not piled the way that the dagan is piled. The dagan is these small, or beans, like Ful HaMitzri. Those are these small things. It's the only way you could store them over there. When it comes to peirot, you have to be careful not to just pile them up and they get damaged. So what is Rabbi Meir saying? L'meimer the dagan called a midgan mashma? Does Rabbi Meir seriously hold that the word dagan means anything that would be piled up? Now here, this is very fascinating, because we're going to be bringing a raya from a story. And the story is in Divrei Hayomim. It's very important that, because the Rishonim points out that when you're talking about a story, you're talking about the Loshen B'nai Adam. Now, the thing is that Divrei Hayomim is not stories. I mean, it's sort of like Divrei Hayomim is the same narrative that you have in Tanakh, right? But you'll notice the difference, a tremendous difference in the ambience of Divrei Hayomim. Divrei Hayomim speaks the way Ksuvim speaks, as opposed to the way Nevi'im speaks. And the way Ksuvim speaks, as the Gemara says elsewhere, you're talking about Mishle or something like that, you're talking about Chochmato Shel Shlomo, meaning that it's meant to be, the idea of Ksuvim is that it's meant to express things in the way that people would express them, not coming as a biblical narrative kind of idea. In which case, because this is a very serious issue, how can we bring a raya and we make distinctions about Tvua, Dagan, and so on from Divrei Hayomim, when Divrei Hayomim, we say we don't bring a raya from Loshen of Torah? And this is a pella. I mean, Tosfos says that this is not the same. Divrei Hayomim is not the same. It is Loshon B'nei Adam. Gavi, what's wrong with your internet today? We've got some serious problems in your video. Ah, there we go. Okay. Okay, good. Maybe you were transitioning into the outdoors. So, if that's the case, then this is a lovely story. Chizkiyahu HaMelech. It's so beautiful to read. It's wonderful for Hanukkah. Chizkiyahu HaMelech went out and destroyed all of the horrors of the generations before him, in which they had been over to Zorah, and there were all kinds of Mizbechot, and all kinds of Bamot, and there were all kinds of Asherot. And they went out, and they blew up everything. And then, because people were not really aware anymore of Barnea's neighborhood, because it had been Mevato, the Aveda, and so on, so he set up again the Mishmorot, Hakuna, and the Leviya. But people weren't taking off Trumas and Maaseres because they weren't used to it. So he made a takona that people have to bring Trumas and Maaseres to the Beis HaMikdash. And that way it all together will be able to see, give it directly to Kohanim, and so on and so forth. So this lovely pasuk talks about the way a takona ultimately became even more powerful than what its initial simple meaning of its intent was. And v'chifrotza davar, as it became more and more established that this was the derech, it was beautiful, because hirbu v'nei Yisrael reshit dogon tirosh yitzar dvash chotvata sadeh umaser hakol lerov haviyu. So they brought things that were way beyond what l'chora seems to be the chiyuv dogon tirosh v'yitzar, and they brought anything, tvuas hasada, everything, whatever that means. So they brought everything. Now, the problem over here is that in this pasuk, we list separately the words dogon and kol tvuat hasadeh. So, I mean, if according to Rabbi Meir, the meaning of dogon is kol demidgan, so then how do you explain the fact that it says iamra dogon means kol demidgan? So then what? Now, this is either, as the Rosh says, we're bringing the beginning of the pasuk, but we mean you to understand on your own that the kasha is not for the beginning of the pasuk, or it's simply a mistake in the girsa. But the meaning of the kasha is from v'chol tfu'at hasadeh. So in other words, what I'm asking you is that if l'maisa dagan is everything that you would pile up, which includes, according to Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, even full hamitzri, so then what is the point of saying separately chol tvuat hasadeh? I don't understand. Then it must be that it's not a broader term. Amar Abaye, no, chol tvuat hasadeh is not talking about idgan. It's bedavka talking about things that are not idgan. And the point of the pasuk is to say that even though midiraisa they weren't chayev, but they would bring peaches, apples, everything. So that's the kifrot sadavar, like expanded way beyond the original intent. And people were machmer, even on Trumas and Maaseres, which are minirabanan, that he hadn't said that you need to bring. Maybe there wasn't even a takona yet on that, and that they made that. So that means everything. But the dogon was referring specifically to dogon, and then it expanded into kol tvuat hasadeh. That's Abaye's explanation. Now, Rabbi Meir says, hold on a minute. I agree with you that when it comes to tvuah, had he said the word tvuah, it would have meant chamesh haminim. But he didn't say tvuah. He said dagan. And that's why I'm saying that dagan is more. But if he would have said that, then I would have said that that's chamesh haminim. So says Rabbi Yochanan, that means not that that's Rabbi Meir's opinion, but that he's agreeing that that would have been the Chachomim's opinion. In other words, it's not only I, Rabbi Meir, that say if he would have said tvuah, he means chamesh haminim. It's a komodim be'anodim in atvuah she'en osra melami chamesh haminim. And we have a brighter. Tanya nami yochi, shavin be'anodir min atvuah she'en osra melami chamesh haminim. Says the Gemara, that's crazy. I don't understand. Obviously, wasn't the issue in the Mishnah about whether even using the word dagan is also limited to chamesh haminim, like the Chachomim said, and Rabbi Meir is saying, no, I would agree with you that the word tvuah is limited to chamesh haminim, but I think that dagan is more. But, I mean, obviously the Chachomim would agree. What do you mean agree? That was their main point, wasn't it? that the Chameshes Haminim is the meaning even of Dagon. So why do you need to tell me that Tvu'ah would be limited to Chameshes Haminim according to the Chachomim? It seems clear. No, says the Gemara, it's not clear. Because, again, you were talking about, remember, Lashon B'nei Adam, right? Now, if you take a look, and we're going to see this word later on, the Ron says the Gemara is taking this into consideration. Even now, the word Tvu'ah is translated in the Targum as Alalta. Alalta is a general term for all things that came out, profits, growth of an investment. It's called Alalta. So if Tvu'ah in common usage is Alalta, so then maybe the word Tvu'ah, it's like when we say Tnuva, right? So the company Tnuva is marketing things that you would, al pi atayra, you would have tnuvat, tnuvat asadeh. The word tnuvat and be milk products specifically and so on seems to be a little bit off of the original meaning of tnuvat. But still, it's meniv, it brings profits, and it comes with additional growth of what you had. You had animals, now you're selling milk. That's a tnuvat. So the same thing would be true about tevuah, because, I mean, if you analyze the word itself, it means that which comes out of, tevuah, right? For the word ba, it's the things that are coming. That's alalta. It's gone up. It's beyond what was originally there.
Income.
Very nice. Income, exactly. So if that's the case, I would have thought that maybe in the sense of Divrei Hayomim, it would include more. So therefore we need to know that, no, the Chachamim agree that it doesn't mean more. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? It doesn't mean more. Mosif Rav Yosef, the same pasuk. It says, V'chifrotz ha-davar, hirbu b'nei Yisrael, and remember that we listed over there two different things. We said, V'chol tfuat sadeh u'maser hakol rov heviu, right? And over there, obviously, it meant more, because first it says, hirbu b'nei Yisrael, reshis dagan tirosh v'yitzar. So over there, it's clearly talking about the chiyuvim, plus kol tfuat sadeh, which means more than that. So then tfuat does not mean the chamesh zaminim. So how do you say it means the chamesh zaminim? I don't get it. What are you going to do with that? Amar Rava, obviously, you don't think there's a difference between the use of the word tfuah and the use of the word tfuat asadeh? It's like different things. Tfuat asadeh means anything that the sada brings forth. So that would include apples and oranges. Where is Moshe Foreman? I only see a blank screen. And I'm getting very suspicious. And since this next sugya is specifically about Moshe Foreman, I need to make sure that he's listening carefully. Okay. So what happened was that Bar Mar Shmuel Poki deleted on Tleitzer Alfizis Lurov. That what should be given, this the son of Mar Shmuel, he died, and he left the Tzava. And in the Tzava, it says, give 13,000 dinar to Rava, but only take it out of the Alalta. Now, this Alalta, that's the Targum of Tvua, right? So only take it out of the Alalta from my holdings in the town of Nahar Panya. So Rava sent a Shaila to Rav Yosef. What am I allowed to take the 13,000 from? What is the definition of Alalta? So Rav Yosef says, well, you take a look in the Braita, Chetimat Nitahi, V'shavin benoder min ha-tvua. Now, tvua is translated as alalta. And the Braita said that Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are both meida, that the meaning of alalta is chamesh saminim. So if by nedorim it means inu osir ala mechamesh saminim, so the same thing should be true here. So Abaya said to Rabbi Yosef, how do you write? That's not a good Braya. Me dummy. I mean, if you would have said tvua, the word tvua has this technical meaning. It means the chamesh zaminim. But alalta, just because it's the closest you can get to it in Aramaic, doesn't mean that it has the same technical associations. Alalta means income. Incoming alalta, that which comes from. So that could include anything. So then they wrote to Rava this whole discussion, and he heard Reb Yosef's suggestion, and he heard Abaya's taina on Reb Yosef, and that Reb Yosef apparently went along with that. And Rava said, I knew all of that, for heaven's sake. So lo komi boili, that's not what I was asking. Of course halalta is anything. That's komi le mashma. What I wanted to know was something else. Hadahudi boili. I knew that, but I wanted to know whether income that he used to have, Bar Mashmuel, from renting out homes that he owned in that area and renting out boats that he had in that area. He had a rent-a-boat company. So I want to know whether that income I can also take my $13,000 from or not. That's what I was interested in. Mi amrinan, why not? Why isn't that income? Because alalta relates to something that is producing. But this basically is not producing, it's getting used up. In other words, it's all very nice that income is coming, right? But the long-term results of that is going to be extreme wear and tear, which lamaisa, when I make the chishuv for tax purposes and so on, I have a right to take all of that off. So I don't really look at that as growth. There's a difference between growth and income. Something that's growing is one thing. Something that's going down in value is another thing, and maybe that's not called alalta. That's what I wanted to know. Or do we say that, look, it's all very nice, theoretically, to know that there's wear and tear. But lamaisa, you don't see the wear and tear every day. So you just think about all the good money that's coming in. You know, okay, there's a lot of money coming in. Okay, one of these days I'm going to have to repaint and I'm going to have to fix the plumbing and so on. Okay, but that's one of these days. So you don't take that into consideration. So that's what I wanted to know. You guys didn't even address that. So Amru Rabbanu Kamei Rav Yosef. So they said to Rav Yosef what Rava's reaction is. So he said, well, since Rava already knows everything, and everything that we answer him, all he has to do is answer us and argue that he really knows that, but that he's ahead of us. So why the hell did he send us a question in the first place? He doesn't need us. Don't ask. Yeah, what a jerk. He doesn't really have any interest in what we're going to tell him. All he has is something to say about what we tell him. So then don't ask in the first place. Anyway, so Shama Rava. So Rava hears this, that Reb Yosef is angry at him for bothering him and then being so stuck up that he knows everything. So he figures, okay, Erev Yom Kippur, I'm going to come and I'll ask him Mechila. And I remember Reb Yosef was blind. So when Rava walked in, Reb Yosef didn't know that Rava had walked in. So he comes in Erev Yom Kippur, and he finds that he's the person was being Meshamesh him. The Shame was about to mix him the water in his wine and was going to give him a cup of wine. So Rava says to the guy, do me a favor, give me that. Let me mix it for him. So he gives it to him. Rava mixes it. Now remember that Rava Shita was that wine is supposed to be mixed 3-1. Right? Nobody else used that mixture, but he said, if it can't tolerate that level of mixing, that's not even wine. Okay. So then he mixed it, the komazig. When Reb Yosef drank it, he said, hold on a minute. This doesn't taste like regular wine. This tastes like that Rava Bereda Reb Yosef Bar Chama. He's the only one that makes wine like this. So Rava says, yes, indeed, it is he. Okay, so I'm here. So Reb Yosef said to him, well, I have a little message for you, okay? Before you sit down, let me see how well you've learned the Pirush of the Pasuk, because I don't think you take it much to heart. So how do you explain the Pasuk of Mimidbar, Matana, Mimatana, Nachliel, Uminachliel, Bamot, famous drasha, everybody knows the drasha. How do you understand the drasha, Mr. Big Shot? So Amalei, Reb Yosef says to him, I know the drasha, that kivan sha'ose adam et atzmo kemidbar, shumufkar lekol matana. So if a person doesn't have any gaiva, so then haTorah nitenet lo b'matana, shenemar mimidbar matana. And once he gets Torah b'matana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to him as a nachala. Oh, the person becomes great. But if the person gets any gaiva, because now he's up there, v'im higbiatzmo HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo, shenemra u'mi bamot ha'gai, you go down all the way to the valley. Not only that, they'll put him into the ground. However, maybe you don't know the end of the drasha. Let me tell you the end of the drasha. The end of the drasha is, im chozerbo, now it's not really the end of this drasha because it's a completely other pasuk, and he's sticking it in just to be able to get Rabbi Yosef. But the end of the drasha is that if he does tshuva from the way that he acted, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Magbi, where do you see that? Because he uses the word gay. And it says in the pasuk, kol gay yinase. Why does it say kol gay yinase? That dafka, those people who were stuck up and they got thrown down to the gay, they will be kol gay yinase. They will be go up on the top. I'm not here on Erev Yom Kippur just for shtick. I'm here because I'm doing tshuva, and I realize I shouldn't have spoken that way. Okay, beautiful. We need more friends like that. Beautiful, beautiful conversation, Sarge. Anyway, Tanya, Hanoder min hadagan, asur af befula mitzri, yavesh, but fula mitzri, which is lach, that's more like a vegetable. And also rice. Rice is not nidgan, even according to Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir saying this, obviously. And chilki targes and tisni. Remember, chilki targes and tisni was the way they used to chop up wheat into different levels of fineness. 2 parts per grain, 3 or 4. So those things also, they're not piled up. They're not because they don't have a similar structure. They're just randomly cut up. So those things, even maybe Meir's Maida, are not included in the concept of Doga. Now, what about if he says, Peirot Hashana are Aser? So then he's Aser on all of the fruits, but he would be allowed to eat the Gidim, the Tloim, the Cholov, Beitzim, Gozalot, things that are animal products. So he's got all the kids and the lambs, milk, egg, chickens, the little chicks. Those things are Mutter. But if he said, Gidulei Hashana, as opposed to Peirot Hashana, then anything that is the growth of that year is included. So then all of those things are included. Suppose he makes a neder of Peirot Haaretz, he's Osur B'chol Peirot Haaretz, but how about mushrooms? Now, mushrooms, that's a whole different issue, right? This is something that only Moshe Wilshinsky is a bucky in. Okay.
So, I wouldn't truffle with it.
Or truffles, fine. So what would be the din of mushrooms? Because they don't really grow from the earth, do they? So he's called these Peirot Haaretz. I mean, these things could be growing, you know, on a tree, just whatever they attach themselves to, a piece of old board, a boat, I don't know. So whatever it is, as long as they got a matrix that they can get some nourishment from, they don't need the earth. So then he's mutter bekvein u'pitriot, because those are not peirot haaretz. If he said anything that the earth grows, that includes them. Wait a minute. That's not true. What do you mean, anything that the earth grows? Mawila, you need to mute. You were about to say something. Okay, so the problem is, what about a bracha? What bracha do you make on mushrooms? What about mushrooms that have been prepared over the course of many years, as Mo Willie will tell us? Do you have a special bracha for mushrooms? No, mushrooms, you don't mention the earth. You just say shahakol. They're called dover she'ein gidulo min ha'aretz. What are you talking about? You said the pshat is that if you said gidule aretz, so then gidule karkas, gidule aretz. You said you're also in truffles, you're also on mushrooms. Here it says you make a shahakol niyeh b'dvaro. And it says in the Braita, ala melach, ala zamit, al kmeim u'pitriot, v'shakol niyeh bidvaro, because they're en gidulu min ha'aretz. So zamit is just it's salt water. Melach is the actual salt itself. Those things are not considered to be kol niyeh bidvaro, perot ha'aretz. Om Rabaye, well, they grow from the ground, but meaning that they still obviously need ultimately to get whatever minerals and moisture and so on is coming up into the air from the ground, but they get it through the air. So since they're not attached to the ground, they are rabu mi'ara, so they're considered to be gidulei aretz, but they take their nourishment from through the air. Excuse me? The Braita said beferish al davar she'ein gidulo min ha'aretz. So what are you trying to tell me, mir barabu mi'ara? You know, just because you change language, you're not fooling me. I mean, mir barabu mi'ara means you're claiming they're gidulei aretz, right? Let's be honest. Let's call a spade. And it says over here, make up your mind. Okay, you're right. I meant, Aldover She'eno Yonik Min Ha'aretz. So the way I understand the Braita is not Gidol Min Ha'aretz, but rather Yonika Min Ha'aretz. And that would be consistent with the Teretz of Abayit. So since they don't draw the nourishment directly from the Aretz, and instead they get it through the air or through the wood that they're on or whatever it is, so therefore it's different than the Neder, because over here the Bracha specifically in terms of things that come ultimately from the earth. And now we're ready for our Sir Richard. Hopefully. There he is. Hanoder min haksut. Moving on now to not talking about foods, but rather talking about clothing. So, I mean, what do we mean by clothing? Because, I mean, there's some things that, even though they're worn, you wouldn't call them clothing. I mean, would you call a rubber raincoat clothing? Or, I don't know, maybe you would. I mean, so what would be clothing? So actually, he would be mutter besak. Sackcloth, I mean, even it's a type of cloth, and it might be worn, but certainly not clothing. So he could wear sack. He could wear a sheet on himself, a yiriyah, just a plain piece of material. He could wear a chamilah. Chamilah seems to be similar to a rubberized raincoat, meaning it's made out of hairy material. It doesn't allow water to get through, so it's much, much thicker than just a sackcloth. If he says, konim tsemer ole alai, I don't want wool on me. Does ole mean to wear, or does ole mean to carry? So then he would be allowed, if he says ole, he doesn't mean that I don't want wool touching my body. I mean, he could be covered with a lot of sheared wool, freshly sheared wool. It's basically covering yourself in hair. I mean, that's not, the person doesn't call that tsemer ole alai. He means to wear. And if he says, konem pishtan ola alai, so then what he's referring to is specifically actual, the pishtan means linen. It doesn't mean that you can't put stocks on yourself of raw linen flax. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, these are defined also situationally. What's the context? Imagine a situation where a guy is a sabal, and he's carrying this heavy load, and he's got this stuff on his back. It's 90 degrees outside. The guy is sweating. He stinks to high hell. And he says, Ta'anvi, Zia Vahaya Rechokasha, I ain't ever doing this again. He says, I swear, Kainim Temro Pishtim Allah. So what do you think he's referring to there? He doesn't mean he's not going to wear a nice suit of wool. He means I'm never going to be carrying 100 tons of wool on my back, raw wool. That's what he means. So that he's Mutarlit Kasot, but he would be Asurlav Shilah Chorav. So you have to take it, the situation that anybody would understand what he means, into consideration. So we've seen this before, that situationally or contextually is part of the explanation. Says the Gemara, the Braita says if somebody makes a neder, not to be nene from ksut, so he's allowed to wear sak, yiriyah, chamila, but, now this is expansion on our Mishnah, is asur. How about things like a money belt, a punda, which has like a little zipper, you put your money in and you close it up. Or a piskia. Piskia is more like a girdle. It's a very wide, wide belt. That is considered to be actual clothing, even though you'd think, well, I mean, what does it cover? I mean, it doesn't really cover. It's part of the way you wear your pants. I mean, you're going to call that clothing? Yes. People generally refer to clothing, including their belts. So the belt, sakiria, the material that is not suitable for clothing is not clothing, but the shape, that is considered to be clothing. So we'd be usur bapunda bapiskia. He would be usur even a sakurtia and a katablia. So these are things that are made, we're going to see in the Gemara, these are like aprons that somebody who works in leather, so he would wear this over him. Or people would put on a leather jacket if they're on a motorcycle. Man, leather is clothing. Yes, leather is clothing. Clothing in Apilia, and those are like kind of leather slippers, or a plinia. A plinia would be maybe we're talking about over here. I'm not sure because the last three plinia, michrasayim and kova, don't seem to be talking about leather anymore. We've gotten out of the leather, and now we're interested in various things that maybe you wouldn't consider to be clothes. So plinia might be like a loincloth kind of thing, which is not a clothing. It's more just like for tznias. Or michnasayim would be underwear in that case. And a kova, I mean a hat, is hat clothing? So enachinami. It says over here, that's the Kiddush. It's also considered to be clothing. What did you mean by an iskurti? I'm not familiar with the term. Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, it means a kituna detzala. It means a leather kind of shirt. Tanya, now when it comes to Shabbos, so over there we have to determine what is considered to be carrying and what is considered to be bottle to your body, and it's not carrying. Obviously, clothing is not called carrying, but take the same talis that you're wearing and now put it over your shoulder, and now you're carrying it, right? So what would be included as clothing on Shabbos? You're allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing sak aveh. This is not the same sak that we had in the Mishnah. That's not considered to be clothing. This is a sak aveh. Besagus aveh, which is thicker than the yiriyah that we mentioned in the Mishnah. Or you could wear yiriyah, or a chamila, even, if you're wearing it because it's raining. So then it's considered to be the clothing that you wear in the rain, and it would be bottled to you. But that doesn't mean you can go out with an umbrella, and it doesn't mean you can take a box, put it over your head, or take a mat and put it over your head to protect yourself from the rain and say, well, I'm just wearing it. You're not wearing it. So that would be carrying it. So you cannot go out with a box or with a kupa or with a mechatzelet, a mat of some kind. Now, Ro'im, they go out oftentimes wearing regular sock. So because of that, even though other people don't, but remember we had this back in Shabbos, once you have a class of people that are wearing something, it's considered to be called a beged because of that, and therefore lo ro'im bevad, elo kol adam, elo shedibru chachamim behoveh. Okay, now the last piece that we had is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I call lefi hanoder. Now, in the Mishnah, it only says it in one direction. That if somebody was sweating from carrying a load, so then he doesn't mean I won't wear it. But what about in the other direction? So the Braita, actually, according to the Ran, the Braita is actually being chalek on the Mishnah, because the Braita spells out both directions of what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer in the Braita, it says, Ketzarom Rabbi Yehuda Kol Lefi Hanoder. So it adds the other case. What if you're wearing that if a person was lavush tsemer? Tsemer, I mean, it could get really scratchy and hot, right? You got this raw wool shirt. Oh, gosh. So say he is now really in pain. Some say it's hard, it was too small on him. I don't know. It's difficult to believe. But anyway, the pashtus is it means that he was being mitzta'er from this scratchy shirt, which I'm sure you've all had the experience of, right? We've all gone through, oh, what a nice warm shirt. Ah! And then you go crazy wearing it. So he says, Konim Tzemer Olalai, I'm not going to have this Tzemer getting on me again. So then he would be usher to wear Tzemer, which is the opposite case. But he would be mutter to carry Tzemer on his back. On the other hand, Hayato un pishtan v'hizia, v'amar konim pishtan olalai, then it would be the opposite. Mutter lidvosh, the usher liton. So basically, I hold, says the Ran, Mistavrali, it seems very reasonable to me, that this is arguing on the Mishnah in what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, because the Mishnah seems to be saying that Rabbi Yehuda takes for granted that the Tanakhama is right. If I cannot see any indication that he specifically meant to carry, like the case where he's sweating and he's disgusted with himself, so then obviously it would mean Levisha. Whereas over here, the Braita is saying, no, we need to see contextually that it means Levisha in the event that the guy would say Ola Alai. So according to the Ran, this is actually a different version in Rabbi Yehuda. And he points out, this is very common in the Ran, he points out that this is not true according to the Rambam. He always really takes the other side of the fence, but what can you do? He's so much fun. We can't blame him, right? So the Rambam doesn't say that. Okay, lovely gentlemen. Anyway, I can only wish you again a freilichen Chanukah, Chanukah Sameach. May we be zeicher bayomim ha'em bazman hazeh to have the same bayomim ha'elu. And it should be a time of nisim and niflos for all of us. Hashias hamecha, v'reches nachalasecha. Finally, remember, Chanukah was only like a chinuch for the real thing. It's time for the real thing. See you all, Bezrat Hashem. Ala nisim v'ala niflaot.